Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From a quarry, it's the Wheezing Groaning Sound, the only podcast about Doctor Who. And today, rather topically, we're taking a look at a new release from The Quarryman.
Oh, very good.
Thank you, yes. Now and then, but now is the 70s, and then is thousands of years ago.
Oh, wow.
As we look at The Hand of Fear. Ooh. I'm Tom Neenan, and joining me are two men never afraid to give manual stimulation to a rock-hard Castrian. It's just a Paul Litchfield, Mr. John Ray! But before we kick in...
Kick off. Is that like coming out for footballers?
Yeah,
if they kick out.
Kick out! Paul, what was on TV that day?
Allow me to furnish you with responses to that query. don't know where that was going.
By the way, guys, love the song.
Only took 3 years, folks. Yeah. It's Saturday the 2nd of October, 19 of the 76.
Fine, heady days.
Oh, good Lord. Now, sorry, Space I'm sucking on a polo.
Buckaroo.
Spangles.
I'm sucking on a polo, so there might be auxiliary mint hitting enamel action.
Sure.
But I'm not sure our listeners are ready for that.
Wasn't this also the cursed summer of 76 where it was so hot it was like the surface of the sun for like 3 months?
Oh, really?
Oh, was that the year? Was that the year?
I think 76 was the heat wave everyone talks of.
I was three, so I wouldn't have remembered.
I wasn't born, so I don't remember.
What you're saying is that it's getting hot. It was hotter then, so it's all a hoax, all this.
All a hoax.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here first.
David Bellamy was right. You all squeamy, weeby wankers.
That's what he used to say. That's what he says. Didn't he used to have toilet paper? We're getting off on too many tangents.
He used to have toilet paper? No, he used to use his hands.
On him around him? Yeah.
What do you mean? What, he advertised it?
Yeah.
Wipe your arse and dance away.
I think you're right. I think he did Andrex adverts.
Andrex adverts.
Just look at this lovely, scrabbly, rubbly.
It's horrible, actually, because the first advert, they took on the mantle of the Everest ads. Instead of a feather, it used to be a shitty bit of toilet roll dropped by a window.
Ted Moult would open the window and go, stinks at it.
Stinks at it. And now it stinks out there.
If you're playing Wheezing Bingo at home, we've done stinks in here quite early.
Yeah.
Actually, you can do very well with these three that we're going to do today. There's some good Wheezing Bingo for you.
There really is.
Anyway, what was on TV, I hear you cry? Well, at 9.05 was Ragtime.
Oh, excellent.
No, I have no context for what Ragtime is.
We might get a flood or something then.
Ragtime.
Was that the theme or was that just a stroke?
I was just having a stroke.
Having a musical stroke. Mr. Memphis. At 9.20 was On the Move. On the Move, a lively look at words and letters with Barry Took and our old friend Bob Hoskins.
It's good to use words and talk.
What words you got today then, Pez?
It's just be a nice dictionary.
Fairly. Why don't you say that word, and if you don't, I'll cut you.
Razors, get someone on the trumpet. Someone don't know this word.
And that was On the Move.
Nice. Summed up nicely.
After that, 9.30, it's time for Multicolour Swap Shop.
Yes, please. Who we got presenting that one?
Oh, well, here's the write-up. Neil and Keith are here.
No idea. Right. Keith Chegwin.
And Neil Kinnock.
Well, all right. So, John and I were talking about Neil Kinnock a couple of years ago.
And I was hoping he'd do that. Paul's a lovely little jukebox. You can just say it.
Oh, yeah, it's Pavlovian Mimina.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Anyway, Neil and Keith are here. Right. Swap the news with John Craven. What the fuck? Not swap news.
Could you come in and go, oh, I've got some news about...
it's mad, isn't it?
About Pakistan or something.
And can I trade you for the Belgrano? Because I'd rather break that to Granny.
I'll give you last helicopter in Saigon for a cat up a tree.
Before, Chi-Chi the Panda's just given birth to twins. Yeah, strange. imagine it, swapping news.
John Craven, The Last Hunter. Yeah. New film that's coming out. It looks great.
Yeah.
You can also chat on the phone to Flintlock.
Oh.
Don't know what that means.
Wasn't that the recent Joe Cornish series?
Yeah.
Well, you can talk to that recent Joe Cornish series back in 1976.
Flintlock. Oh. Have we discussed Flintlock on this podcast before?
Oh, I don't know.
It sounds like a hard-boiled detective, doesn't it? Flintlock.
Aren't they a band? They're Flintlock.
Oh, they might be a band.
Hi, we're Flintlock.
They sound like highwaymen.
They do.
Yeah. So to me, they sound like a hard-boiled detective in New York. Flintlock.
What's one who sits in boiling water until he's... We'll go solid inside.
Case solved. My nuts are hot. And then end credits.
All I've got on thing is it it's what I'm thinking
of. Lugers is what you're going to get.
Oh, I'll tell you what it was. I think I did some writing.
I worked with them for 4 years.
I think I did some writing for a piece of like one of those archive shows where they need narrative in between it.
Oh, yes.
And I think that I got a clip where Pauline Quirk is talking to Flintlock. And I had to write some commentary on that, some hilarious...
Well, I'm still no closer to knowing what it was.
are they a band?
They are a band, right. Flintlock.
And what was their hit?
Flintlock!
Whoa!
That's incomparable, Flintlock!
I thought that was going to be the theme to K9 Incomparable.
Flintlock!
Discography. Bill Rice was one of them.
Oh, Bill Rice.
Do you remember when he died and they had to put him in a bag of phones? That was sad, wasn't it?
he was dead before he hit the peel out.
Yeah. A little bit of loving.
Them.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, after you've met Flintlock, obviously you're giddy as fuck, aren't you?
Mm.
But don't worry, it's going to get crazier because you're going to meet a walking stick collector.
Wow.
But
Michael Foot.
Who's dropping into the studio?
Oh.
Well, it's only Doctor Who and Sarah Jane.
No!
Yes! Mm. Yes, and also, do you want to become a Luxonologist swap light bulbs?
No.
With Britain's one and only light bulb collector. There's going to be one, isn't there? And it's just him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How many does it take to get in the studio?
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. How many Luxonologists does it take to swap their hobby?
Yeah.
Well, that's been loads.
One's up on television, and the other to screw him.
Very nice.
In the bottom.
Now I'll do that joke as any energy efficient light bulb. There we are.
There
you doesn't make sense at all. And you could also, by the way, swap snacks with Delia Smith. So you could swap news with Craven and swap snacks with Delia.
Let's be having
Imagine
you.
You just
Let's
turn up and just go, this is a blue tack pasty that I wipe my ass with. Can I swap it, Delia, for your duck à l'orange? No, you can't, you shit.
No, come
on. Duck à l'orange, on a side note here, is duck à l'orange now a defunct meal? Because it used to be when we were kids, the kind of go-to
meal.
Posh meal people would have. Was, I'll have the duck
à l'orange.
But now no one talks about it.
It was Fraser's signature dish, wasn't it?
Was it?
Really?
Fraser's proud of his
duck à l'orange.
I sometimes do it with a blackberry jus.
Oh, lovely. Mm. Very nice.
Yes. Mm. Anyway, after a Mozgo swap shop at 12:30 was grandstand, belly, grandstand. And then new sport weather. And then you think, it's going to be Doctor Who now. No, it's not. No, it's 5:25. We have to watch A Taste of Melons.
What?
Tasting more sweeter than wine.
Melons I have here, divine.
A taste of melons.
If you don't eat my melons, then you are a swine. A taste of melons. It just says this. The gay brothers have mixed feelings for a city boy's new horse.
What is happening here?
Let's just go through this one again.
Okay.
A taste of melons.
A taste of melons.
I bet it was a gala event.
Oh, lovely.
Nice. Watered down.
Well, they were like, the honey was due here any second. Nice. Why hasn't it arrived?
You could have had the guest speaker of Bunsen Honeydew from the
Marvel.
Nice.
This is great.
Yeah.
What other melons?
Do you reckon the two gay boys wanted to get married and someone said, you can't elope?
Nice.
Oh! That was too good. I think you should take it back. A taste of melons.
Right.
The gay brothers have mixed feelings for a city boy's new horse.
No clue.
So maybe the Radio Times had a stroke.
Yeah, I don't understand how the title of the programme refers to what's going on in the show.
That's A Taste of Melons.
You'd think they would be called the Melon Brothers.
The Melon Brothers.
Not the Gay Brothers.
The Gay Brothers.
No, I don't know whether they're the Gay Brothers as in their last name is Gay. Like, I'm Roger Gay and this is my brother.
Yes, I think that's what
they're saying. Imhotep Gay. Or whether they're a pair of gay brothers.
Mempoir Gay.
Yeah.
Because they do have mixed feelings for a city boy's new horse.
Maybe that's code.
What for?
heroin.
Yeah.
Right. Hence or, the taste of melons.
Yes.
Of melon.
Heroin tastes
the
like
melon.
It does, yeah. That's what he says in Trainspotting, isn't it? It's better than any fucking melon in the world.
Okay. There we are. We've solved that.
Think of the world's biggest melon. Then multiply that by 100. You're not even close.
Wasn't there a crossover with Eric Sykes and they made
Fear Me Plums?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curry and melons.
Melanie Sykes.
How's that
nice.
How's that for raw horseradish? Yeah.
Sorry.
Whooping great things, horseradishes in their natural form. You must have seen a horseradish in its natural state.
I've seen a dog radish. I've seen a house radish.
But I've never seen an elephant. Taste of melon. On BBC One. Sorry. At 6:10, yep. Doctor Who.
Hooray!
The Hand of Fear, Part 1. There is a write-up for you, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you.
The TARDIS returns to present-day Earth, where Sarah is caught in a rockfall and becomes possessed by the fossilized stone hand of the alien Eldrad.
Mm-hmm. Very accurate.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And right after that was, arrive on Roo, it's the generation game.
You're going to be on the generation game this week in this pottery? Oh, no, I can't make it. Oh, I'm just ashamed. The press found out about you and that dog.
Anyway, never mind. It's entirely up to you if you want to stay home and put your feet up. Blackmail Amphia. Come on, let's all get in the studio. All Blackmail Amphia. That's the fucking round we're doing. Right, everyone Blackmail Amphia. I want rubbish blackmail that was. You're not in the round anymore. Piss off.
It's good that the Generation Game was a big circle, wasn't it? Because it started off with Brucey.
Yeah.
Then you had Larry Grayson.
Yes.
They brought it back with... Brucey again. So it's not a circle. Then Jim Davison.
And then he killed it, didn't he?
And then he killed it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's more of a rhombus.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking Brucey was last. I thought he was bookending it.
Maybe he did. Maybe they
bookend, I booked a bookend, and I booked, I did.
The British Yoda, yes.
Nice to see you, bye.
Oh, it's you. I fucking hate you.
There is another Jedi.
He's wizened.
Another there is.
If as old as me you are, as good you will not look.
Remember when they buried Yoda under the London Palladium?
Well, he used to do an act, didn't he, originally, with Mr. Grimm's Tale. Brilliant. Yoda and...
Salacious Crumb.
Salacious
Crumb. They'd be a fucking great double.
Do you know
act.
What they'd be really good at is the is that Egyptian?
Yeah.
That one where you put the sand on the floor.
Yeah.
They'd be good at that.
Yeah.
Because Yoda could come out and do the song, you know, like, look at me. I'm just helpless as a kitten. And Salacious Crumb would go, shut up, you idiot. Oh, you've ruined my song.
Yeah, and he'd be up in the rafters when you're in the theatre.
Yeah. Yeah. With his leg dangled
over. Ah, shut up, you fucking green bogey.
Oh, you've ruined the lovely song for all the boys and girls.
Yeah. And then Bernie Clifton would come out riding Salacious Crumb. Yeah.
He'd be on a Bantha.
He would be on a Bantha.
He'd be Bantha Poodoo.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Bantha Poodoo. That was the review of his show.
Yeah.
It was a lovely show, but the Palladium reeked of Bantha Poodoo after.
His sign-off would always be, and I thought they smelled bad, on the outside. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, ladies. Oh, shit, the show's just started. Anyway, good night. I'll just say good night for an hour.
I used to love Sunday Night at Hoth. My favourite show.
Sunday Night at Hoth. It's chilly on off, isn't it? Don't worry, because my chin is an auxiliary generator.
And he could open the door
to
see who's there, like a crinkly bottom type thing, and it could be Han Solo frozen in a carbonite. Oh, it's cold out there.
Oh.
Danny Winters comes in freezing, he has to slit open Brucey and crawl inside. Well, inside his chin, I suppose.
I mean, it'd be Bernard Manning.
It would be, yeah. Get a large chin.
I'm not saying it's cold as hot, but Bill Oddie's been looking at some blue tits.
And penguins also. Oh, sorry. anyway, after Doctor Who and the Generation Game was... it was the two Ronnies.
Oh, my... This is the best day on television ever!
Lovely day. And it's wonderful. Series 5, Episode 5.
Ooh.
It gives you a little sort of like clips of sort of what you're going to see. A news bulletin from 2001.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be Barker by himself.
Of course.
In the future, a huge great dome, and there's the other dome you haven't used. Huge pair of tits.
Mm.
Et cetera. Yeah. A man visits a barber with poor eyesight.
Oh.
Sorry, I'll cut your ears off.
Short back and sides? How dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, all that. And then, and of course, we've got some country songs from Jehoshaphat and Jones, which is when they used to
Oh, the country
up.
And western people.
I'm talking about girls I've seen, girls I've met, and places I've been.
Very nice. There was that sketch which was the mastermind where he answers every question before. With the word arsehole.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And he says, who is the leader of the Conservative Party? Arsehole. What is the capital of Spain? Arsehole. It wasn't as strong. It wasn't as intellectually...
Charlie's arsehole.
That wasn't a Wiley.
That was not a Wiley.
That was his other alter ego.
That reeked of Took.
Yeah, Coyote. Gerald Coyote.
Very similar style, but completely different man, apparently. Never saw different. Wiley and Coyote in the same room.
Acme? I never even met me.
Kept a bird, you know, in a cage. Yeah. Made a funny noise. Meep, meep. After the Seven Slipknot, let's get all that out of the way.
Yeah.
Was Starsky and Hutch.
Oh my goodness.
It's a good night, isn't it? It's a good night.
Or Starkers and Crutch, as Morecambe Wise called them.
Or, well, no, actually, as two Ronnies would do them.
No, Morecambe Wise literally called Starkers and Crutch.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
I forget that Morecambe Wise used to do rubbish parodies, didn't they?
I think this is when they went to Thames, wasn't it?
This is their ITV times.
Oh, yeah. We don't talk about that.
So they did quite a lot more.
Yeah. No,
Starsky and Hutch. In Las Vegas, the strangler is killing glamorous core girls.
Well, what else have you
done?
He's not sure about that one, is he?
Get the family pack of Kleenex out just in case. And can I suggest you have a little walk around the park?
Doris is, I mean, Bert.
Yeah.
He's been entirely absent for too long now.
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah, he's not faring well.
And I'm afraid we have to stay true to the form. We can't just invent something for him. Yeah. It either happens to him organically.
It has to be organic, otherwise it's not worth doing.
It's exactly. Just
not something worth doing. Gerald Wiley told me once.
Yes. Yeah.
But Bert Coyote.
short shrift from Bert Coyote.
Can't be Bert Coyote, can it?
Yeah. Used to carry little
Coyote.
Signs with him in little umbrellas.
Arthur Coyote.
Always falling off cliffs. BBC Two started at 7:40 with Open University. Courses included William Morris.
Oh, right.
Maths. Algeria. Gene development.
Yeah.
And this is where Bert just still doesn't. Simulation models.
Oh, no.
It's going to be computer programs, isn't it?
It really is.
He's
going
to be all ready, trousers down, and suddenly it's just going to be like New York skyline. He's like, I'll go. Yeah. Well, which bit of the skyline looks the most like parent knockers? I think he'd make do, wouldn't he?
He'd have to.
I think he'd have to take one for the...
Team.
Sort of looks like that.
But he'd probably have to go, Doris, go in the Safeways and get some tasty toast toppers. As they're gone for 20 minutes.
Buy a VHS, Bert. Keep some of these things on file.
Yeah.
After Open University, of course, closed down because got very tired. At 1:35. Then it only had a 35-minute kip, and it was back.
Oh.
Back with Saturday Cinema, The Courtneys of Curzon Street, starring Anne Eagle. That's all the info I've got.
Anne Eagle.
Starring Anne Eagle, an owl, and a sparrow. And
is this Anne Eagle as in an eagle, or is this Anne Eagle?
An eagle.
Yeah.
And that sounds like and another eagle.
Yeah, it does.
So
yeah.
There's two eagles and an eagle. In this? So is there two eagles on, what is it, Curzon Street?
And diamond. You go, no, it's just
and. Is it and it's diamond
just,
or and?
A diamond.
A diamond, not and diamond.
Is it an eagle, an eagle and diamond?
Yeah.
I think this is just, I think it's all wrong.
It's and all just bloody all wrong, isn't it?
Jeremy Irons, Jeff's Capes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ben Folds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, after that was Vision On.
Oh, hello.
Vision On with Tony Hart, Wilf Lunn, and Sylvester McCoy.
Yay!
What a joyous Doctor Who day you're getting here.
It's incredible.
Oh.
I could watch this. I'd watch this as a themed BBC Four evening.
Why don't they do that, programme controllers? Why don't you say, tonight, we're going to do all the programmes from 1976.
If you like an eagle,
you're
going to love tonight's theme.
Tony Hart, you cretin. One for Tom Crowley there.
There you go. It's a little treat for Tom Crowley.
After Vision On was the Money Programme. But that should be our when we come in on the Olympics. Mm. We all wave at that bit.
Well, we've established this. It's the theme to Keeping Up Appearances.
Oh, yeah, that's true. From.
No, hang on. That's.
Yeah,
I love
true.
The thing I love about that opening is when three books fall down, and she rolls her eyes like, "Oh, what am I to do?" And it's like, God. Pick up those three books.
And then she gets a flower at the end, and she notices a caterpillar, and she's like, "Oh, the very thing that would plausibly live there." It would be odder if it was like a Lego prostitute.
I'd really like
small
it.
Lego prostitute
or hen.
Yeah.
Or a little Lego hen.
She opens up her chest freezer and there's a body inside. Yeah. She like rolls her eyes.
That's normal though.
She opens up a cupboard and Richard's all like tied up in bondage gear.
Trussed up like a turkey. Yeah. One of those party come out of his arse.
Richard!
Hyacinth, is it really necessary to be dressed up as a dead vicar?
Just because the vicar is very fond of real life murder cases, etc. Anyway, we'll just put this big bowl of fake blood next to the rare couch. Richard! Richard puts his head in it.
Yeah.
So I think, really, you know, her spotting a little caterpillar in the flower, it's not that, she shouldn't have been that shocked, really. No. If it was like Lord Lucan.
I don't think she's more, I think less shocked and more kind of, ugh.
Again.
Typical. Yeah.
I reckon that the husband's doing it when she's not looking.
Oh, yeah.
Putting the one in. Yeah.
I reckon he's got a little acts of rebellion.
Mm. Yeah, he's got a little bag of caterpillars.
Mm-hmm. I remember in the last episode, he puts loads of thallium in her tea. And she goes bald and dies.
That's what I remember that one. Yeah. The one before, he puts a canoe in her omelette. Richard!
By the way, they're all on iPlayer at the moment.
Very good.
Yes.
When the wind keeps up appearances, they're both getting irradiated.
The spin-off.
Yeah. Oh, no.
After the Money Programme was Open Door, which is a documentary series that was on at 6:15. And this is grand. Cameras follow a group of lesbians who are against nuclear disarmament and want to ban the bomb. Sorry, no, they're for nuclear disarmament.
The Green and Common ladies.
That lot. There you go. Yeah. Are they the ones who went...
Carry on banging.
burning their bras from radiation.
You know that there's that clip of on Richard Littlejohn's show where it's Michael Winner and he's going, "You get on two lovely lesbians." And you...
What you... lovely lesbians you are. Would you like some clarified butter? Keep them warm on Gwendolyn Collin.
It's sort of weird how Michael Winner comes out as the hero of this thing.
He does.
And he looks great. He looked very charming.
He was a white knight.
He was a white knight.
It's literally the only time where he's come across like some sort of godlike character.
He really is. He
Angel
swoops
Gabriel.
In.
But then he's right back to, "You two dusky maidens were very nice in my new film, Black Panthress Eats... So he'd be straight back to type.
You know the Harry Enfield thing, Norbert Smith?
Yeah. Mm.
There's that wonderful Carry On about Green and Common called Carry On Banging.
Carry On Banging.
Barbara Windsor's come to protest all their unsightly erections. And then Kenneth Connor says, "I assure you, we have no intention of dropping one." She goes, "I should think not."
Brilliant.
That's actually just solid, isn't it? Solid comedy.
It's the best Carry On since...
Since
Abroad, probably.
Probably since Abroad. Mm-hmm. After Network was... this is intriguing. So you've just watched a documentary about... after Open Door, comes Network. Another documentary. A documentary about a man who sells Jesus.
Oh,
like Skunk and Nancy. They're selling Jesus again.
His name is Reverend Malcolm Widdicombe, who will also speak in tongues.
Oh. Is this like Anne Widdicombe?
Anne Widdicombe?
Must be Anne's dad, maybe.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Malcolm Widdicombe.
Or is it my friend Josh Widdicombe?
Could be Josh Widdicombe.
Josh Widdicombe.
I don't think he sounds like that, but... I mean, he's from Dartmoor. He's from where I grew up.
Oh, really?
That's the original Dartmoor brogue.
That's Josh Widdicombe in the box.
Yeah.
That's true. Don't box him in.
Yeah.
And after that, after the two weird documentaries, one about sort of like... So my mum used to say it. And then suddenly a documentary about selling false prophets. You had Winnie the Pooh.
Oh!
What, an episode of or the film?
An episode of.
Winnie the Pooh. Pooh? What was it like? Because obviously there's the American Winnie the Pooh, isn't there?
It would have been that one.
From the 90s. Wasn't that from the 90s?
Nuclear disarmament.
No, hang on, no, there was a Winnie the Pooh. There, it was the late 60s, early 70s, wasn't there?
Was he the one who used Oh Bother?
Yeah.
See that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh Bother.
Yeah.
I've got my head stuck in Tigger's ink.
That was very depressing.
Was it?
Yeah, because his problems were so minuscule. But it was treated like it was the end of the world because he was stuck in a hole.
It's all very sort of existential angst, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
Piglet always felt like he was being radicalised in some way or
yes,
another.
Yes, and well, normally was. He normally joins jihad at the end of most episodes. And then Eeyore, of course, clinical depression.
Yeah.
Floated around in a river all day saying, what's the point?
Yeah. And then, of course, you had Pigger! Bouncing on his tail, and you just thought, that's ADHD.
ADHD,
isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
They're all named after symptoms of taking cocaine, aren't they? That was what they said about the seven dwarves.
Good
Lord. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, Doc?
Doc. Famously, you
space
all...
docking.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. That's what you do when you're on cocaine.
Yeah.
Go space docking.
Yeah. There is a bit in the new Snow White film they're bringing out where you see all of them doing all of their namesakes.
Yeah.
Right.
So Sleepy has a sleep. Grumpy's quite grumpy. And Doc, space docks for one of the dwarves.
Imagine
with Grumpy, which compounds the issue.
Oh, imagine getting the call from your agent. You got the dwarf gig. Great.
Yes!
Who am I?
What
Who am I?
Do?
Bashful?
No. What we'd like you to do, your character, is you unfurl your foreskin onto another animated
foreskin.
If you
want
to take it further, you can actually then urinate into each other's foreskins like sort of little balloons.
I thought it was I thought it was putting a poo in a condom, freezing it.
No, that's igloing.
God's sake.
You've had some confusing sex parties.
Yeah. Oh, I regret that now.
You wouldn't want to put that in you.
In you it.
Richard, it's in my it. Yeah.
Mind
oh,
you,
let's
if that
wash our mouth out with this filthy conversation.
If that was in the new Snow White film, it'd be doing it a favour because by the look of the dwarves in that, they look fucking disgusting. Have you seen the pictures?
No.
Oh, it's so fucking awful. Why are they doing these things?
I mean, I say we're using the word dwarves advisedly here in terms of we're talking about the characters in the
characters,
thing,
yeah.
I don't know what the
Grimm fairy tale
not,
and or Disney.
We're not being disparaging towards little people.
No, not
we
at all.
Not.
Well, how have they navigated that in 2023 for the
they've
Snow White?
They've made their heads
giants.
Giant and they've made their heads big, fat and cartoony.
Oh, the worst of all worlds.
Worst of all worlds. Yeah,
well,
right.
There you go.
And they've put what's her name? Rachel Ziegler in it?
Oh, yes,
I think she's basically cursed.
They put Richard Wilson in it. Snow White. And he's like, I don't believe you.
I think she's like the ultimate example lately of someone who's like been in an Oscar, a film that garnered Oscars.
Yes.
Right.
And has just gone on to have a cursed CV.
Has she? What was her Oscar winning? Oh, was she?
West Side Story.
West Side Story. And then she's
in like the new Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
Go
there's a new one of them.
That's like a prequel.
But her dad ran the Moulin Rouge, so that's got to be.
Oh, really?
Howard Ziegler.
Ran into the ground then, that's the problem.
Is he the one who, when you asked him if he could do something, he said, yes, I can.
Yeah.
That's the one. Good for him.
Great guy.
After the Winnie Pooh was MASH.
Oh, my God. This is the best
episode
day
of MASH.
TV ever.
This is the best day of TV ever.
And then after that. Let's shovel another random cartoon. Mr. Magoo.
What?
In Martian Magoo.
Oh, he
I'm accidentally got the bars.
What it is, isn't it? We made a go down to the horse track and get Magoo. And then get somehow on a UFO. Well, this ain't no horse track, but I'll bet on this horsey. And it's a aliens.
What a miserable life he had.
How horrible. Yeah. In the last episode, he kills himself.
Of course, he can't see properly, so he actually slits his knee.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
But manages to hit a proper,
major artery.
A major artery.
Yeah. He tries with pills first, but he just sticks them in his ear.
Yeah.
This ain't working.
He uses Tic Tacs.
Yeah. He tries to stand in front of a bus, but he stands in front of a feather. It doesn't work. Yeah, he tries to jump off a cliff, but the cliff jumps off him.
Do you remember when there was that character in Last of Summer Wine that was just Mr. Magoo?
Oh, yeah.
And they just, that was...
Like a manic depressive.
Yeah.
Oh, blind.
Blind. Had really bad eyesight.
Well, Barker did an entire series.
He did. What was it? Clarence.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was it all the same stuff?
Like... The whole joke is he's very short-sighted and wears big bottle glasses.
Right.
And in fact, his wife is the neighbour.
Josephine Hewson.
The neighbour in Keeping Up Appearances.
Oh.
Yeah. She's just constantly going, oh,
see, folks, this is why we do this shit talk.
Yeah.
Mm. It's all cyclical. It all comes
back. Exactly.
Yeah.
But Leslie Nielsen, of course, did a film of Mr. Magoo.
He did?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was a shocking success. After MASH was the gamekeeper, a documentary, 1 year's work, 2,000 pheasants reared, 1,000 shot.
Sounds to me like you're wasting your time.
Yeah. Then.
And there you go. That was your television entertainment on BBC One and BBC Two. And what wonderful stuff you had.
But why?
Why?
Why? Why would you be watching any of that? Would you be watching The Hand of Fear episode one? We begin in media res. A millennia ago, men in various duvets and
a quilt clucks
sleeping bags.
Oh, very nice.
And the togs. No, 24 of them.
Yeah, yeah. they are, oh, the thread count on these Castrians is through the roof, and they're talking about destroying Eldrad, the traitor Eldrad.
Who's, traitor Eldrad.
And they're all in need of a little bit of Tixie Licks.
Yeah, everyone in this whole story, there's a lot of gravelly voiced men.
Of gravel.
Yeah. One of the best female performances, but mainly dominated by gravelly voiced men. And they're talking about, destroying Eldrad, he's destroyed the barriers that protect them all from the winds.
Yeah.
That's cold winds.
Cold winds.
And they say that even though they're going to destroy him, there's a very slim chance, there's a tiny chance.
Tiny.
That is a little bit of him might survive.
That's right.
But I'm sure that won't come
That's
up
That's not going to happen.
No.
Ridiculous. You forget about that.
We then cut to present day Earth. We say present day, it's obviously 1974.
Beautiful TARDIS materialization.
I was going to ask you about the TARDIS material. I think it's one of the best ever, isn't
it's
it?
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Takes its time, invests in the whole.
Full screen?
Yeah, and also in a quarry.
It's natural place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's natural home.
Yeah. I stopped watching after that. I haven't got any more notes.
Fair enough. And what do we get? We get Sarah Jane Smith's iconic, as it became known, Andy Pandy,
which showed up again in Dimensions in Time, of course.
Yeah. It was. She's wearing that.
It's a brave look for a companion, isn't it?
It is.
She pulls it off.
Yeah.
She does pull it off.
Expression.
And I'd say one of Tom's best costume combos we've
Beautiful.
Got here.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
He's looking absolutely stunning, and it's lovely. There's little things like he bowls a stone as he's chatting, and they're
for no reason.
No,
that's our baker, isn't it?
He's basically like, look at this.
Yeah,
throws it, doesn't do anything.
Nope.
This is the man who. You know,
but they're in Croydon. He thinks
they've landed Croydon. In Croydon, and not for the first time he'll make that mistake.
Mm.
And there's the Hooters. There's Hooters. There's the restaurant. Hooters is has just opened in the quarry. No, there's a Hooter going off.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yes.
I thought you were going to say there's a Hooters in Croydon.
No, there was one in Cardiff.
Was there?
Yeah, it didn't do well, I don't think.
No.
It's not a British thing, is it?
No. We're too reserved for titties.
We want full breastage out when you're trying to have a steak, Diane.
No.
What do you think of this, string fellows?
Yeah, please. I mean, there's food being eaten here. No.
Like a pint of John Smith, not a pair of tits.
For heaven's sake. That's why I voted Brexit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where do you think you are? The Rio de Janeiro.
Tenants extra smooth, please. Not cleavage extra out. That's what I say.
Nice. Have a bit of a Scotch egg, please, and you can put them away. Thank you very much.
Does your mother know you work here?
I'd love to...
Oh, she will now, because I'm going to tell her straight away.
Even Bert would about foot, wouldn't he, and march out.
By the way, that mole under your nipple, I get that checked out.
Bert wouldn't like it then.
Bert, no.
Too much for Bert.
Too obvious. Too peppy.
Yeah. He needs to work for
he'd
it.
He'd be dead in his soup, wouldn't he?
Oh. Little Doris takes it. Oh, it's going to be your birthday.
I think he gets to the door, just looks inside, and just faints.
The most erogenous man in the world. But what they don't know is there's about to be a big explosion.
That's a proper big explosion as well, isn't it? Yeah. That's an actual explosion in a quarry.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
From what I understand, it was just obviously it's a working quarry and they just said you can film us doing our...
We're going to do a big kaboom if you want to
watch. It's a very good kaboom, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're all just... they're all dead, surely.
Yeah, come on.
They're completely covered in rubble.
They're surviving that.
There's no way, and that's it. And so then the credits roll in silence. No, wait!
Sorry.
Because... obviously, the doctor's sort of fine, and somehow...
Is that your notes? Just like seven words for the entire thing? How are you doing that?
It's almost as barren as the quarry they landed.
I have reams of shit.
I'll be honest, I know...
Seven-style dialogue books.
I know the ins and outs. The Hands of Fear inside out.
Sure.
I know this one. I've seen this so many times. Yeah. I could do this.
He's closed his book, everyone. He's now going on some sort of mad.
He's closed the book on Hands of
Fear. Yeah. So anyway, we're on Traken.
Oh yeah, Traken. Yeah. Colin Baker walks.
Baker walks out with
with his scarf on.
Yeah.
And Tegan's his legendary assistant, William Hart. Who can forget?
Who can forget? Oh.
Who?
Bambi. Sorry, Dodie.
Dodie
and Diana.
Walks out.
In the quarry.
He's opened his book again.
I've opened my book because I'm scared. So there is an explosion. The dog's absolutely fine. But Sarah Jane Smith is buried under rocks.
Yes, with a rigid fist.
Yeah. Yeah.
That basically gives her a ring sting.
Yeah.
No, it does. She touches the ring on the fist.
I don't know how she got that buried. I guess, and he's not dead.
Matt Berry.
Yeah. I'll be dead in the
Well, she's got a little slab that's just sort of on the side of the rock.
She was very lucky.
Yeah.
Sort of natural cradle and or roof.
Yes.
That's very lucky.
She was protected by the very thing that tried to kill her.
Yes. Yeah. Mother Nature sometimes helps.
Apparently that happened a lot on 9/11.
Oh, really?
Well, it would have.
Just to lighten the mood.
Yeah. Yes, like someone underneath a photocopier that's just, you know.
Yeah. They've never set a Doctor Who during 9/11, and I hope that continues.
Oh, please don't do that. I remember when they brought back, was it Superman Returns?
Yeah.
They were like, we wrote a scene where he went to Ground Zero and just hung his head.
Thought, oh, no.
Oh,
no.
God,
no,
don't do that. Don't do that.
Thank you.
Don't do that. Imagine if we did that with like Antiques Roadshow. Yeah. What are you all doing there? With
Ground Zero.
Let's see what treasures we've got in Ground Zero.
We've had to ship everyone in from Clapham.
Yeah.
We've decided to film it here.
Ridiculous.
Speaking of which, there is an ambulance. You don't see an ambulance much in Doctor Who, do you?
No. Difficult as well to make its way over a quarry.
Yeah.
The TARDIS could have been an ambulance because it's got the little light on top.
It's all there. So Sarah's taken to hospital where she's dealt with an intern. Now, a lovely friend Toby Hedder could be furious. I can't remember the name of the person who plays the intern, but he is the...
He's Imhotep Mempwas.
Imhotep Mempwas.
But he's in... I think he's in everything, isn't he? He just like turns up as... He's a doctor in a lot of things. Yeah. And he's,
Scientist.
And they also meet Dr. Carter. Dr. Carter's got a bit gravelly voice, isn't he?
The first gravelly... Or the second gravelly voice, if you count the Quilt Klux Klan.
Quilt Klux Klan and the gravel that they've been stuck
under.
And
the gravel.
The graveliest of all voices. Yeah. Gravel. So they've found this hand, and what they're absolutely baffled by is the fact that it seems to be from some silicon-based life form.
That's right.
Silica. Yeah.
It's in those little bags you get in...
When you get your
DVD. To
keep
it dry.
To keep it dry. Don't eat it, though.
I'm sure someone once said if you had like three or four of them in your bedroom, you wouldn't wake up because you'd be all dry in the morning. if you put four or five... Oh, hang on, I'm from Devon.
I was going to say, there's an episode of Tales of the Unexpected for you.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
What would happen? Okay, is that like a YouTuber prank? Could you get someone who fills their friend's bedroom with like 1,000 of those silica packets?
And then they're like the thing in Cocoon.
Can Mr. Beast make that happen?
Yeah, and if you just want put one pipette of water on them, they blow up.
You'd have to do it on an animal first, of course.
Try it on an animal first.
Is that how they do beef jerky? They just put get a cow into a...
They get a cow, and they tie it up, and they just have 3 hair dryers on it for 9 years. And that's beef jerky.
It's an agonising death.
Oh, well, the cow likes it for about a year. Then it gets a bit hot.
Yeah.
And that's how they also make milk.
Hot milk.
That's how they make... Hot milk.
That's how they make Milky Bars.
Oh, yeah.
The Milky Bar Kid is up in space, isn't he? Sometimes. Milky Bar Kid's a cowboy now.
I need more than that. Yeah. Sometimes.
The Milky Bar Kid's been committed this week.
I wonder what the Milky Bar Kid's doing now.
The Milky Bar Kid's a volcanologist today.
Oh, that's nice. He changed.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Milky Bar Kid's floating face down in a dam.
Oh,
that was the last one they did.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Weighted down by too many chocolate bars.
Well, he's a cowboy, isn't he? He's an outlaw.
Fucking cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an outlaw.
Get out of here, you cowboy.
They should have the bit like in Young Guns 2 where an old man claims to be the Milky Bar Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Or remembers. Or like Titanic.
Yeah. We're going to take you back to...
Remembers when he dropped a Cadbury's button into the sea.
Oh, God.
throws it in.
I'm king of the Milky Bars.
Of course you are, Mr. Mempois. Have your hot chocolate. Is it right? Be too sickly for you. The drink you're born with. Don't like hot chocolate.
He's been having his Baron's hot chocolate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Anyway, so Sarah Jane, does what I love about this is that she's unconscious, but then she pulls a full Basil Fawlty on us.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Eldrad right. Must live.
Eldrad yeah. Must live. And so she goes out for a little wander.
Yeah.
She also turns, she has a sign on her door saying, do not disturb this patient.
Yeah.
On a little string. Like that.
Oh, love that.
You'd think they'd have like a slidey thing. Like,
yes.
The doctor is in.
Thing. But no, they've got a string with a cardboard sign saying, do not disturb.
Nice.
And Tom walks past and just gives it a little knowing tap. Like, lovely.
Lovely. Good.
Urinates on it. Oh, Tom.
Oh, not again.
No, none of that in this.
None of, oh, no. He's on excellent form.
Beautiful.
Because this really forefronts Sarah and the doctor's friendship.
As it should be with her last walk.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know it's going to be her last going in. But.
But yes, so she goes on a walk and we get...
She walks all the way to a nuclear reactor.
Yeah. Right. As you do. Yeah. Just straight
the way,
there. Straight
without the use of Google Maps, everyone.
She's like Alan Partridge walking down the dual carriageway singing golfing.
And I love that the Doctor is in hot pursuit in a green Ford Maxi.
Yeah. We get some lovely direction from Lenny Main.
Don't forget, SJ's also got the hand in a little Tupperware.
Tupperware. Love that.
Lovely. Little Tupperware
picnic.
That's what Tupperware parties used to be like. You used to have a severed hand in there just to show how fresh you
when you say Tupperware parties, you don't mean like everyone threw their Tupperware.
Everyone threw their Tupperware
center,
in the middle.
And then they went home with whoever owned it.
Yeah.
Is it like pampas grass? Is it a code?
I think it is, you know.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I've never heard pampas grass said in about at least 5 years. It's lovely to hear pampas grass.
Because I'll always walk past pampas grass and go, oh, pervs live there.
Yeah. When I was young, one of my friends had a massive pampas grass bush in their front garden. Right. Now I think about it, they did seem the sort.
Oh, really?
It all turned out to be nonces.
Well, I lived in a little suburban area. It was probably... In fact, I did read it was good for swinging.
Oh, there you go.
Of course he lived there. Carpenter's Park, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently in the 80s, it was good for swinging.
Having his nookie bear.
Carpenter's Park.
Well, yes, it provides good coverage, doesn't it? Yeah, it's pliant enough to be able to lay down almost like a matting.
Maybe.
You could use that to make it to love make on.
If you wanted to pamper your
guests. Of course, you're getting on here, is it?
Is it love making when you're swinging? I don't know.
Yeah. It can be. Oh,
you're
no.
You're not in love, are you?
You're not in love.
Is it just a sweet act of love when you're swinging, or is it more of a bestial affair?
You know, please do write in.
Please do.
I'm sure some of you know. Ben Thomas probably knows.
He'll know.
Yeah, but he only does his in a Toby Carvery.
So we're at the Nunton complex.
Oh, yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
Looks good, and we get some actual location of
it's
being
lovely
in
location
a.
Work.
Yeah, being in a nuclear reactor.
Radioactive chambers all look brilliant.
They do look so good, and she just marches on because she's got the Eldrad Must Live, and she can just flash her shiny blue at everyone.
What did you say then?
Shiny blues.
A Fox's Glassy and Mint.
Suddenly, she's in there and she approaches the nuclear reactor and opens up the little Tupperware box in the nuclear reactor, and there's a little hand in there. The hand's missing a finger.
Yep.
But not for long.
Not for long.
Because by absorbing all the nuclear reactions, suddenly, not only has the hand got a new finger, it's only bloody moving.
And starts twitching.
It's twitching.
Is that the cliffhanger?
That is the cliffhanger.
What a good cliffhanger.
little
disembodied hand trying to thumb a lift in the Tupperware box. Lovely.
Lovely stuff. So then we're introduced to
director
Professor Watson.
The director. Oh, Professor Watson. But there's
also
there.
Oh, yeah,
the director.
Now, did any of you watch The Storyteller?
Yes,
you did.
Yeah,
as in I'm the story. No, that's
no the Jim Henson series.
The Jim Henson, the best place by the fire with the War Doctor.
Yes. Reserved for the Storyteller.
He's mean. He sounds mean.
And in the end, they all farted their spines out.
What's the connection?
The connection is that Professor Watson is in it. He plays, and he has the line, which I used to say a lot as a kid. He goes, "In the boiling oil."
Which episode's that?
It's in the one about the storyteller where he, I think it's called
Stone Soup.
Yeah.
Yes, good one, that.
It's a good one.
It's a good story, that.
He blows his fingers off, doesn't he? Ironically, yeah. he loses his fingers.
Oh, he blows his fingers off.
Yeah.
Stone Soup's the old one about the vagrant.
Yeah.
In this case, John Hurt, who says this stone will make you the greatest soup in the world.
Mm.
Oh, it just needs a bit of salt. Just needs a bit of beef. Just needs blah blah blah. And by the end, he's got a beautiful soup. And then he sells him the stone.
Yeah.
Great story. But I didn't
fucking
like another
idiot,
kick because it's got no Muppets or monsters in it.
It hasn't got any Muppets or monsters.
Hang on, that bloke's just an imbecile.
Oh, yeah. It's annoying, isn't it?
That soup sounds nice. You don't have any, you're a dog.
You're a dog.
Dog will eat anything, though, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They eat their own sick.
I've seen pigeons eating their own sick.
Yeah. The best one, obviously, is Bob Peck. Speaking of pigeons,
the Soldier and the Death.
Soldier and Death.
Absolutely amazing
episode.
That's
the best one.
Yeah.
And all of the linkings, this is a Doctor Who podcast, so we need to link everything back.
Yeah.
All of the devils, do you know all the devils were based on?
Five Star.
I've forgotten his name. Ken...
Hom.
No.
Ken Cavill.
Sylvester McCoy was in his thing.
He was. Ken Campbell.
Ken Campbell.
Ken Campbell.
I mean, they all look and sound like him, so I always assumed.
Ken Cavill there, Cliff Barnes and Dallas.
One of them doesn't look like Ken Hom, but they had to cut it out because
of the
racist.
Very
advised. No, we'll call it a meal.
Oh, I love that episode.
So,
get in my sack.
That's the opposite of what Bert usually says.
That's right, yeah.
Sounds like John's rider for this show. Meanwhile,
we're in the reactor, and oh my goodness. Well, what happens is the Doctor is able to get to the place via the cooling ducts, which you don't see, but I would pay anything to see.
One of the best stunts ever seen.
Yeah.
Very good.
Of him flying out of a flap.
Yeah.
I'm the unknown stunt man.
Can we also mention, because I think we've gone past it, one of my favourite bits of this story is the security guard lying prone on the floor.
And Tom
stopping to pat him on the head.
Give him
lovely,
actually, we've forgotten the other great bit, which is when Dr. Carter, who is also being possessed by the spirit of Eldred, threatens Tom Baker with a... Is it a wrench he's got?
Yeah.
He does. Eldred would be proud of him.
Yeah.
He runs at Tom Baker with a wrench and falls off a platform to his death.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly. And he's lying at the bottom. Like, you know how every character in Family Guy lands?
Yes. Somehow
absolutely.
They've broken their legs four times.
Yeah.
Also, the other bit I love is the director who's going, "For God's sake, we need to shut this place down." He's got a fly in his head throughout about 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
Just a little fly on his head.
We take it? That's real. It's real.
But also, the beautiful pathos of him having to phone home.
To say to his wife, "It's probably nothing, but I might die.
Can I speak to our child?"
Yeah. "I hate you."
Yeah. "Fuck you."
"I know you've been going through the thing under my bed." Stop it.
"There's a specialist magazine to do with nuclear security."
"Also, socks shouldn't sound like crisps." Just so you know. But that's a beautiful moment, though.
It's a beautiful moment. Lovely. He's going to be
gutted. It reminded me of Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like Chernobyl.
Yeah, Chernobyl Fallout.
It's all very Chernobyl-y.
Can I have a polo, please?
Yeah, of course you can have a polo.
Good name for a Russian stripper, that, wouldn't it? Chernobyl Fallout.
Yeah.
It's a drag name, isn't it?
A Russian drag act, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
That was the old joke, never buy underpants in Ukraine, because Chernobyl Fallout.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Sort of tainted now with current events, isn't it? We've repurposed it.
No one cares about Ukraine anymore, it's fine.
Yeah, it's completely.
It's all been solved.
Yeah.
It's all been solved. So we get the Doctor picks up Sarah.
Yeah,
a lot of Tom Baker picking up ladies in this one.
Yes,
she drops the ring on the ground.
She does,
but he sort of takes her out and notices that she with a Geiger counter that she has
no radiation at all, and she's completely unaware of what's happened as well.
Yeah.
She's like, "What?"
Mm.
But this is why Sarah J's brilliant, because when he explains it all to her, just one little bit where just later on she will just do for fun. Eldred must live.
Yeah. Just checking.
I was going to say.
Just checking. That's so brilliant.
When she awakes from her trance, her radioactive trance, from then on,
yeah,
it's basically the Sarah Jane Smith farewell comedy hour.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
She is just banging out loads of funny lines.
Yeah. I like the bit when he puts her under the influence. She goes, oh, no, not again. And then she's already down. And like, yeah, it's absolutely wonderful.
Tour de force.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll let you, after this, I'll tell you what I watched immediately after this. It was a big mistake because I was inconsolable.
Human Centipede?
Yeah.
Should
So,
Sugarland Express, but you watched it all with Polish subtitles?
No. Starlight Express.
Starlight Express.
The first half hour of Earth Girls Are Easy?
No? Never watched the first half hour of Earth Girls Are Easy.
I only watched the last half.
Yeah,
especially. But yeah, so he gets through the cooling ducts, and then Sarah is luckily okay.
She's fine.
But then the ring is discovered by one of the Driscoll brothers.
Yes.
It's Driscoll.
Driscoll grabs it.
Driscoll grabs it. And I'm sure that'll be fine. I'm sure that won't
That's
be a
fine.
Problem.
You just take it to lost property, I think.
Yeah.
It's good. I'd say it's good admin on Eldrad's behalf that when someone is possessed, it's all internalised.
Yeah,
they don't
just
suddenly say, Eldrad, what was that? Nothing.
Nothing.
But it's all in there, so no one knows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very smart.
It would be weird, isn't it? Driscoll goes home to his, like, he's just started a sort of new relationship, doesn't quite know where it's going. They're just sharing a council flat and not sure if they can afford it.
with Mike from the Young Ones.
With Mike from the Young Ones, I sat down and suddenly she's like, do you want some more tomato ketchup with your Finders crispy bastards?
I shouldn't have
hit me back into your stuff. Bloody men!
But yeah, so they recount to Sarah what
you laugh, but that's one of the Russell T. Davis spin-offs that's coming.
Bloody men.
Bloody men. Bloody men. So then Driscoll is...
I didn't mean that. I meant characters from Doctor Who going home and having a home life.
Oh, right.
Just for the record.
Fair enough. Now, they come up, the only plan they've got now is they're going to do a nuclear strike, a tactical nuclear strike.
I don't know how we got to this so quickly. Let's drop a bomb in a nuclear power plant.
We can't quite shut down the reactors. Although if we had a bit more time, we might do it. And they're like, do you know what? Let's skip to the end. Let's just pulverise the
fucking bomb. I'm no expert, but I think if you dropped a nuclear bomb in a nuclear reactor,
what you've got is too much nuclear reactor.
Too much
much of the bad thing.
I think you'd have one hell of a fallout. I think driving 5 minutes away in a Jeep and hiding behind the Jeep.
they are very, very optimistic, aren't they?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just going to be a very British fallout. Very localised.
I think you take out the entire southeast.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of like there's something on fire and then Red Adair turns up and goes, put more fire on it.
Yeah. I found out about Red Adair the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that there was a man called Redder.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know either. I thought he was Red Adair.
Oh, is he?
I did a comedy sketch about that once, just so I could say to a doctor, I've got a red patch there, and he was answering the phone, a quiz question. He went, Red Adair? And I went, really? we thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was a spin-off from Black Adair.
Yeah. throwing out Red Adair references in the Edinburgh Fringe. The kids are lapping that shit up.
So he was a firefighter, right?
Yeah, Red Adair.
People can be famous for, but not the green. No, who is the green?
Green goddess.
Why do I think that?
She actually
green
started
and
all the fires.
Yeah, she used
pyromaniac.
She had leggings so tight that when she did her stuff, it started a friction fire.
That's true. Yeah, she crossed her legs.
A pair of kindlings.
Yeah.
Then Red Adair
legs
turned
kindling,
up.
Yeah.
Well, come on, if there's a fire.
Biggest fire since Fiery McFire was fired out of a cannon for putting fire on a.
Fire.
That was it. That was the height of that. You could get 9 series out of that on BBC.
So you're surprised about Red Adair?
Yeah.
If you've got a name like Red Adair, you've got to be a firefighter, haven't you?
You have. Like,
you can't be like working a shoe shop.
I've got to do one more because I've got 4 series.
Yeah. Very good.
I have a cunning plan that will put this fire out.
We've been quite impression-like.
We have.
Let's do a few. Let's all do an impression of Red Adair. Right. Nobody knows.
You go first.
Right. I don't even know where he might be from. Yeah. Hello, I'm Red Adair.
What accent was that?
He's travelled a lot.
Okay.
No.
Tom?
On that vein. Oh, yeah, I'm Red Adair.
That's very
Get
good.
Get to the chopper.
Good day, mate. It's me, fucking Rudy the Ripper.
I think John's closest going to be like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Got any fucking fires around here?
The hat with one side turned up.
Yeah.
And also, he'd always be drinking on the job, and people were like, you can't do that. And he's like, I'm fucking Rudy the Ripper.
And then he'd just turn up, shake his tinny, open it, spray the beer all over, put the fire out.
Nice.
And go, fucking job done.
Fucking Ripper, mate.
Rudy the Ripper wouldn't give a Castlemaine 4X for anything else.
I can see the house from here. That sort of thing.
Very nice.
Five now.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Christmas special. And then for Blackadder Back and Forth.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do the Millennium Dome one.
Very
accurate.
Yeah.
It's really awful.
Don't forget the Christmas one has Nicola Bryant in it.
Of course,
otherwise...
And she's very good in it as
very
well.
Good in it. Yeah.
She does that laugh. And it's got Jim Broadbent doing one of the best characters in Blackadder.
Yeah.
Damn.
And Miriam Margolyes is in it.
Oh yeah,
she does a fart.
She does.
That's all she does these days. Fart and swear.
Farts and tells you about it.
Yeah. So
by swearing. Sorry.
The missiles do nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. Because otherwise everyone would be dead.
That's good. Or Doctor Who suddenly turns into threads. Imagine if every TV show was a consequence of the other. So that would be directly
It's
not
the bit Back to the Future with the alternate timelines.
Yeah.
Marty,
so
if
it becomes threads,
the
threads becomes where the wind blows.
What I don't understand is, what does it look like? Because they've launched the missiles.
Yeah.
The missiles have gone into the building.
Mm. Gone
in. You obviously don't see because you can't afford to show that.
I think they've been completely absorbed.
But they haven't detonated because there's no damage.
You'd think you see like a hole in the roof or something at least, wouldn't you?
There'd be something.
I don't know how
Eldrad
is. Maybe
they snuck round the back. Yeah. Not
one of those smart missiles.
They are British missiles.
Tactical.
The drone ones all sound like Frank Muir.
But they all, they re-enter, which they're quite willing to do.
They're like, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were behind that Jeep. Yeah. They all emerge when they've got their teeth and their hair swollen out. Success!
It's all over Rusk!
But luckily, so they go to the crucible of it all, and out of the smoky room comes
a smoking hot lady.
A smoking hot lady.
Wow, wee, what a beauty!
It's very weird that Tom says it like that. No, she is great. She is absolutely
She's
brilliant.
She's very good.
She's called Angela something.
Angela Lansbury. It's really good, isn't it? And the costume looks
great.
Brilliant
costume.
Great makeup. It all looks so great. You go 10 years into the future and it can look so appalling.
She's clearly, like, literally walked off the stage at the RSC or something because of the way she performs. And it's so good, though.
Judith Paris. Yes.
It's amazing.
Who, she's extraordinary. And so you got a very different vibe because you very rarely get a villainess in Doctor Who.
Which is why what happens later is I find disappointing.
I think you're not alone in
that. I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm. Apart from the actor who played that part, who's like, no, I'm really glad that happened because I got some work.
Yeah. She turns into Ram Man later from He-Man.
She does, yeah. I'm Juggernaut, bitch.
Exactly.
Bitch. I love the bit, though, just before all that, when Driscoll's wandering around and they hear the hand inside the contamination thing.
Oh, yeah, knocking.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
So
that's
spooky.
Really good.
Love all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia. Now, I would say, like, I don't think this is the fastest moving, hence I don't need to write many notes. Cause it's
Got
not
you.
Sure. In terms of plots, what happens now is there's quite a long chat with Eldred, but it's all good.
Yes.
I think it's all very entertaining because Eldred sort of fills them in on the backstory about first of all
of who they are.
Eldrad does some lovely mind bothering TM Paul Litchfield
mind bothering
to
really
check
good
that
stuff.
Everyone's telling the truth because Eldrad's like, you just tried to blow me up, and they're like, well, no, right. I didn't.
Technically, we were going to blow ourselves up. It's fine.
Yeah, everyone was going to die. It was going to be an absolute disaster. So to check, Eldrad does a little funky eye thing.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
It's like Mike Myers, camera one, camera two, camera one, camera two.
It's such a good effect, though. It's brilliant, isn't it?
And not the first.
There should be one where he's completely naked.
It reminds me of what the butler saw.
Yes. But there should be just one where Tom's completely naked on a stool. And you're like, hang on, did I? No, sorry not.
Wind it back. No, it's fine.
How's your pause game? That's what the young people say, isn't it? They
and it's really nice because you go, oh, Eldred's a goodie.
Yeah. That's I was just nice going to say, at this point, you're like, Eldred's a goodie. Okay, it's not what it seems.
No.
Mm. Eldred's doing very well. Yeah. And so, yeah, they had this discussion about, like, well, look, here's what happened. I built these amazing barriers.
Yes.
Can you imagine having
Big domes.
Great big domes to protect from the winds because Castria is shit. Castria is so shit, isn't it?
And you want to be king of shit?
Yeah.
Make it make sense, bitch. Sorry, I didn't mean to say bitch.
No.
Bitch.
I meant
right.
it in the, you know, street sense.
Female
not in,
dog.
Yeah. I'm not calling you a bitch. You're clearly a classy lady.
Yeah.
And also what I love is when Doctor Who does this, instead of the TARDIS disappearing, four episodes, wave goodbye, now midway through they go, should we pop in the TARDIS and go somewhere else?
Yeah, well.
Let's move it along even more.
What
Brilliant
we get is, we get the lovely, is his name Gwyn Davis? I want to check that. The In the Boiling Oil guy. Glenn Houston.
We have a problem.
He does. He fires off a load of bullets at Eldrad.
Just, it's almost like that, just testing.
Yeah.
Meaning of life.
And then runs away and he's about to be vaporised. He's to be but they're like, no, come on, he's nice because he's got a family.
He was just a bit scared. He'd never seen.
She does say to her credit, actually I can see that he didn't mean it. I'll let him live.
Give him a big headache.
He 100% meant it. He wanted
her
to die.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't. I'll just give him testicular cancer. Yeah. In 7 years' time.
Yeah, it can't be good for you. Whatever happened there, can it?
No.
Anyway, and then that's sort of so he's then off on his own, and Mrs. Jackson joins him. Mrs. Jackson, who's been there the whole time.
Yeah.
Been sort of very loyal.
Oh yeah, she got sent away.
But Miss Jackson was there very quickly. Like, I think Miss Jackson was still in the facility when they...
Also, we forgot to mention that.
There's
he
Ms.
was
Jackson.
Very much saying, you will take cover. I'm going to stay here and die.
Before
he made all those phone calls. So good for him.
Yeah, he's a hero.
He's a really good egg.
It's a shame now Eldrad's cursed him that he has to ejaculate dogs.
Not small Labradors.
It's the Castrian way. Yeah. Luckily, he focuses on sausage. You're trying to get a husky out.
Oh, lucky it wasn't a Great Dane.
Yeah. A couple of Pomeranians, they might get stuck.
Passing a kidney boulder.
Furry boulder.
He survives. What we don't see is the journey of Eldrad.
Well, we don't see is Peter Salas.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see any Shredder Wheat commercials. We don't see...
I almost died in a nuclear explosion.
We don't see a young Leslie Ash deciding to become an actress.
It's the wrong hand, Sarah Jane.
Grommy! That's
cracking
right.
Nuclear fallout, Grommy.
But make a lovely ring thing. You know those hands, ceramic hands that you get to put your rings on?
Oh, yeah.
Eldred things would look good. Yeah. I'd say, obviously, every time you touched it
was missing the middle finger.
Eldrad must live! But yeah, it'd be good for your rings.
We're in the TARDIS midway through the story.
Lovely.
Yeah. Which is
I
always
love
fun.
That so much.
Yeah.
What do we think of the...
Hate it.
What do we think of the secondary control room, the wood panelled?
Oh,
I'm not a fan, actually.
Oh, okay.
Especially with this low 70s lighting, which is a thing of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think it...
Mm. It doesn't... I'm used to it being lovely and white.
I know.
And it makes it look dingy.
It
does, but it's such a stark contrast. I kind of like it.
Well, we've got... They're in a...
Looks like Captain Nemo's Portaloo.
Does.
They're in a state of temporal grace, so whatever Eldrad wants to do, she can't mind
basically,
anymore.
It's like international waters, but the opposite of.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing will have a fair
The Bolgrano's been saved.
No, not like that.
No.
It's
a shame.
I just mean that your powers are no good here.
Margaret Thatcher's tears get sucked into her face when when that woman interviews her on TV.
We can't do the opposites again.
Yeah. No. Even we have limits.
We were too heavy last time.
Yeah. In case you're wondering what's happened to a certain Mr. Darrow, he sort of reached a limit.
Yeah. He's been boxed.
Listen, if he comes back, he comes back naturally and organically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they arrive on Castria, which sucks.
Oh,
Castria
awful,
looks awful.
It does.
And it's even more depressing given that now, spoiler alert, it's no one's there anymore.
No.
Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Eldrad is so unpopular. they took a vote and decided to all kill themselves before he could come back.
Do you think it's just basic 70s male chauvinism and sexism? They just hated Eldrad so much.
Yeah.
She was a clever foxy lady.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be like if you went to a school reunion and you got there and everybody had killed themselves. Yeah.
Because a mate expressly left a video saying, this is because of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Big banner.
Yeah, yeah.
Your fault. Just one teacher there, Ipswich, because you...
That's why Rishi Sunak won't hold a bloody general election. Sure. Probably.
Cool.
Yeah. Bloody...
God, I'll tell you what. This is his home planet, as far as I'm concerned.
Sorry, Rishi, if you're listening. Yeah. I think you're great.
Love Rishi Sunak. So then...
Wishy-washy Sunak, right? Because all the U-turns.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that wasn't like a Chinese reference for some reason.
Oh, I see. I was more thinking of pantomimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, like, I think that works.
Wishy washy from Aladdin.
I'll tell you what it is. It's because I've recently seen our...
The ghost.
Yeah. No.
Oh. It's not uncanny.
Our listeners' YouTube videos, Frantic Planet, regarding the Chinese panto where I think there's a wishy washy.
Oh, yeah. I think wishy washy is a staple of... Whatever Aladdin.
Not... Aladdin.
Oh, okay, right, okay. It's
I played Wishy Washy at school.
Right. Really?
Yeah, I can't talk about that. It was extremely racist. They literally yellowed me up.
Really?
So so you are cancelled.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I got an A+ in cancelled. weird A level that one.
Flying colours, but those colours were
yellow.
Yeah,
were mainly yellow.
But you did get a part on a David Walliams show, so well done.
Different time, I didn't know. Yeah, play my drama teacher.
I will.
Yeah.
In fact, your drama teacher's cancelled.
I shall give out his address at the end of the show.
Fair
your
enough.
Your drama teacher is making a child be racist. Just worse.
That is worse.
My drama teacher was called Mr. Crab.
He did it.
I guess you sideways.
Sideways? Pincers?
Yeah.
Pincer movement.
He fell out of rock.
He was a fiddler. Yeah.
Fiddler? Oh, was he a fiddler?
No.
Okay.
No. Man acted with pure natural aplomb. At all times.
Fair enough. That's good to hear.
Showed you his plums.
He
fucked one Dartmoor pony. Just one?
When I say fiddler, I meant did he play the violin? Not anything else?
No, sure. Oh. No. Yeah. No. He was very good on the lute.
Very
but it was
good.
A bit of a hermit.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That was the name. You could have avoided all unpleasantness.
But he showed you spider crap. Oh,
it's a very Gone loose episode. This again. One. Brackets Ed. Which will be me later.
Yeah. So anyway, so they're on Castria.
Yeah.
They're about to traverse Castria, and Eldrad opens a door.
lovely looking door, and then suddenly thunk.
Funk
acid arrow,
a glass arrow,
glass
but full
acid.
Of acid,
yeah.
Full of acid. Yeah.
Something to do, sort of to melt being. It melts people who are made of whatever.
Melt
it is.
Her
silicon.
Core, yeah.
Silicon.
Silicon Valley.
Because Sarah Jane gets hosed down in it, doesn't she?
Yeah, but she's
and
fine.
Goes, oh, and he goes, "Ah, you'll be fine." He basically says, "Stop, stop mucking about."
Yeah, because you're from South Korea, you're carbon-based life form from South Korea, and you'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, good line that one.
Yeah. So then, okay, then we're into part four now. Part four, I think, is just probably the saddest episode of Doctor Who ever.
I think so.
Because one, it's only got three characters in.
Yeah.
And then...
Everyone else killed themselves.
Everyone else killed themselves on a horrible cold planet where there's nothing.
Nothing.
It's all dark.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk through it. It's basically them walking through a planet. They lose the one nice lady that we had, and she's replaced by Stephen Thorne, who is very good. But
who was Omega, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
From now being in the regeneration chamber, has now resorted to his actual pure form.
Yes.
Which I hate.
And you're like, oh, that's a shame. We didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
don't mind if we kept with our same person.
I loved
who then went, ha ha ha, double crossed you, I want to be evil.
She was set up for that as well because the way she talks. I want her to do a heel turn and they replaced her with a bloody man.
The good thing is you cannot wait for the juggernaut to die. As soon as Stephen Thorne turns up, you were like,
what a way to go.
Well, it's kind
Holy
of
moly.
It's kind of what we were worried was going to happen, isn't it? Because Tom Scarf has been a death trap for so long.
Yeah, that's true. All comes full circle.
Yeah. So stupid. Anyway.
Anyway, so we find out that they've left a cameo for Eldrad saying, "You suck so bad that we all killed ourselves."
Imagine if that's the one Colin sent to us.
It's not that high. hard to imagine, actually.
Imagine if he was like, I'm suddenly, I've taken loads of pills.
Yeah.
I hate you so
much. I haven't shown you the Peter Davison one. It's very cruel.
Is that when he's on a stool trying to adjust a knot?
So it's just everything's cold and dark. Everyone's dead.
Then Eldred goes, actually, I'm evil.
Yeah. And so then they trick Eldred and they throw his ring away. And then he goes to pick up the ring because he wants to like regenerate Castria. But yeah, everyone's gone.
There's nothing here. And then he says, oh, actually, I'll go to Earth and do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Everyone there was servile.
Since my planet is shit now, which he always knew, I'm going to go back in your tiny thing and take it.
Tell you what, good luck with that. They won't let you in because you're an immigrant.
Try coming over to Earth on a boat.
Or they'll probably give him a council house and 10 grand a month. And a dog.
And a dog. Well, luckily, none of that comes to pass.
Tom's got a cunning plan.
He does.
A very cunning plan.
Yeah. trips him up on his scarf.
Oh, my God.
And he falls down a chasm.
What should happen is he should just run up to him. And then the scarf just sort of falls to his feet, and he looks at him and goes, what was that?
Exactly. Or he mildly trips and goes, that's slightly inconvenient.
He might as well have put a bucket of water on the door. You're wet now.
Yeah, so I just stood there and sort of like start doing magic tricks while Sarah just stands around and pushes him off the ledge.
But he does fall, and apparently it's bottomless.
Bottomless.
Yeah. It's an abyss, he calls it.
But they say, is he dead then? And then they're like, no. So Eldred is still there.
He sort of goes, now. Yeah. It'll take a few years to reform.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point. If you fell in that in space, it's quite a hollowing thought when you think about it.
Mm.
You could just fall forever.
Fall forever.
You don't know where space ends.
No.
And then Eldred will just smash into, the hand again.
It just all starts again somewhere else.
He might land in someone's garden in Croydon.
Oh, there you go. Maybe
as a skeleton.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they got that pampas grass up. You won't be able to see it.
So then we're back in the TARDIS for quite a lot. Well, it's a long coda, isn't it? I mean, I'm not complaining, but you get the feeling, it's one thing, and they go, well, that person, that he was a silly cunt. Yes.
what a bloody wanker. Yeah. Pass me the hydro
sauce.
Silo willy.
Yeah.
No, not that one, Sarah. The double-headed hydro silly willy.
And then they all laugh, and then it's over.
But then Sarah suddenly just goes, oh, I think I'm done.
I'm fed up of being.
I think she says another thing. I'm fed up of being hypnotized, tortured, thrown around.
She says, I'm
fed up of being Lizzo's assistant. Bit of satire for you there.
Bit of satire. Yeah. And so she talks about bug-eyed monsters, which is a reference to Sidney Newman, I think, who didn't like bug-eyed monsters.
Oh, yes, of course. He didn't want bug-eyed monsters.
Yeah, BMs. Right. So then she says, I'm leaving. And then only then does Tom Baker get a message from Gallifrey.
Never happened before, has it?
No.
Or again.
Or never again.
No, never happened again.
And he says, can't take Sarah to Gallifrey. Don't know why.
Why not? He's taking her fucking everywhere. Yeah.
Leela's in Gallifrey not long after. So anyway, but no.
Is it like mistresses then? He just want to take his mistress back to Gallifrey?
Yeah, he's
already got one all established.
Yeah. Also, Sarah will be on Gallifrey on the Death Zone in the Five Doctors. So
of course.
Anyway.
But anyway, so then she says, I'm afraid you have to go home, Sarah. And she's all packed up anyway.
I was only joking.
She's like, oh, no, don't double bluff me. Because she's sort of all packed, isn't she?
She's all packed. She's got a little owl.
Yeah.
And
back to Hooters again.
Yeah. And so then he says, there's a lot of things they say. He says, travel does broaden the mind. He goes, until we meet again, Sarah, which was, of course, for many years. When I first saw this, they don't meet. Tom Baker doesn't meet her again.
No.
He's not in the Five Doctors.
No.
But the Doctor, and also the Five Doctors, they don't really play the emotion, do they, of sort of reuniting.
No. Also, in Dimensions and Time, he's not in it either.
No.
Apart from going, pay attention, everyone. Yeah. A bear has lost his eye.
But obviously, David Tennant will meet Sarah Jane Smith again.
Lucky
so that is
her.
Wonderful.
Hey.
But,
great that. When she sees
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
don't get me started.
Brilliant,
don't get me beautiful.
John's got right cob on face. Anyway, she's back.
Yeah, anyway, she leaves, but she's not in South Croydon.
No. Tom, I'd like you to explain exactly what the fuck's going on here.
How do you mean?
She sees a dog, and the dog seems like he's part of it. And then she turns around and it just freezes, like saying, don't play with fireworks.
That's a lovely dog.
Yeah.
Don't tap
dogs
with tennis
rackets. What's
the
point of this freeze frame thing?
That's a lovely Doctor Who companion, isn't it? Do not touch Doctor Who companions that have just been abandoned by the Time Lords. They're very vulnerable.
What's the message here?
I think she glances up at the sky one last time, and that is how we...
Treads dog shit.
Yeah. One last time?
Yeah, she'll never look up at the sky again.
She goes blind.
Yeah.
She gets a hunchback and can only look at the floor. It's like those old men you see that hunched over. A horrible life, but they never step in dog shit.
Yeah, you say she immediately gets spina bifida.
What do you mean one last time?
I love it. Well, she looks at... So, I think they do a similar thing with Amy Pond when she leaves, where they show
another
young...
another fair-sicker cup on.
Amy, yeah. She looks up, she looks skyward, almost to say goodbye to the doctor.
And then
freeze
goes,
frame. We.
She has her custard and fish fingers.
So, I love it. I think it's...
I mean,
the
it's
perfect
beautiful.
Send-off.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
It's
very
lovely.
Ambiguous.
It is ambiguous.
But is it on purpose?
I think so.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
or were they editing it? Someone go, and then over and just accidentally got stuck.
I always think this is a bit when the doctor leaves and then she discovers K-9, but it isn't.
No, yeah. No. Because K-9 gets posted to her in K-9 and Company.
We need to do one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all an iPlayer now.
It's all right, we got time.
Nine.
There's only one, sadly. It was only a pilot. They never made more.
I thought there was a series, was there not?
No, just one.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made a whole series of Torchwood.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Make it make sense, bitch.
But...
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And after this, I thought it would be a good idea to watch Goodbye, Sarah Jane. The on YouTube, they did it for
Goodbye, Sarah Jane. What's Goodbye, Sarah Jane?
They did it for lockdown, and it's Russell T Davies scripted a special, and it was for Sarah Jane's funeral. And if
what?
You
what a real thing?
Yeah,
wasn't that like a drawing or something?
Who was
in it?
Sarah Jane. It had cameos from Joe.
Literal cameos. I had to pay for them.
Yeah.
What a surprise, Joe was there.
It had the band Cameo in it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Word up.
She dead. Oh.
He opens his codpiece and K-9 says,
Hello. Yeah, but listen, he had the good sense of a black codpiece on.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm glad that observing.
Yeah. So, sorry. Lily sticking out of his gosset.
Funeral for Sarah Jane. Yes. Goodbye, Sarah Jane.
Goodbye, Sarah Jane.
No one ever knew. And it was just people saying...
So I
tribute,
think
is
the guy
like
called Jacob Dudman, I think, is the guy who does a very good, Matt Smith. He does a good Matt
That's
Smith.
That's a very good Matt Smith.
Thank you.
Matt Smith. Do
Time
it
and Space, good, yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't
That's
do it.
That's fucking brilliant.
Time and Space, I can't do it.
That's really good.
It's because
really
I've got a similar... But he... And he narrates it, and then it's got Joe, and I think it's got... I can't remember, there's a few other people. I think
so
Ace
is it
is
for like... It was visual or was it audio?
It was visual and it's for lockdown.
It's a series of, John, it's a series of fucking murals in a cave.
I don't understand what form this thing takes. Why are they doing a funeral for Sarah Jane?
Because it was like to make it canon when she passed. It was during lockdown. And
but she didn't die during lockdown.
It's a musical set inside a Zeppelin.
I'm furious.
I'll show it to you after. It's very moving. Oh,
He'll
my
show
goodness.
You his tattoos after.
I was in bits watching this. And Rani's at the end.
Rani's in it, so come on.
Where the fuck is the...
No,
where's the Rani?
No, the Rani. Rani.
Rani.
The two Rani's are in it.
What's going on? He's talking about something. I don't know what's happening. I just don't know.
No, if you don't have a clear idea of what this is by now.
You can't even picture it in your mind, can you?
I can't.
John's gone, everyone. Who died today?
Right.
Score it. Almost seems trite and pointless now.
I know. Well, what are we going to score it out of?
100 Tripping over scarves. That's
tripping
mad.
Over scarves. 100 missiles.
100 Sarah James.
100 rings.
100 rings. 100 rings.
It's the long remix.
Oh,
fuck,
they're
only on 100.
Oh, God. But it's just that. It's, and then they go, 99 rings.
All the way down to 5 rings. 4 calling cards. Weird song.
All right. Well, what about 100 severed hands?
100 severed
hands.
100
severed hands.
There we go. So, Tom, you can go first.
Okay. I'm going to give this...
quickly before we leave Johnny.
99 severed hands.
99 severed hands.
I love it.
99 severed hands.
I love it. I love it.
Holding up the galaxy.
Elizabeth Sladen is wonderful. I think there's. Like, I love the pacing of it. I love everything else. It's a bit sad at the end.
keep going.
But I love it. I'm going to give it 99 severed hands. Paul Littrey.
I'm going to give it 90 severed hands. I love the pace of it. I like the fact that TARDIS goes somewhere else.
Yay.
I like the reveal of the villain. Villainess becoming a villain.
Yep.
I like it all. And it's Sarah Jane's last. And I give it 90 severed hands.
Yeah.
John!
Sorry, I can't.
Sorry, he can't score this
can't
one.
Score it. The first one that's different.
No, I. This is. Yeah. I said to you in the WhatsApp, and I stick by it, that this is jumped into like my top five.
Yay!
I just absolutely loved it, but
I'd
have to knock off some points for getting rid of my lovely Eldrad, replacing it with Juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah, it's a bit daft.
And the last episode is fairly drab.
Mm.
But up until that point, the whole nuclear power plant stuff, I was so invested in it. I thought it was wonderful. So I'm going to give it 85.
85, which means 274.
That's seven bloody hands. Good. That's very
Thank
good.
Thank goodness it's an even number. So
do
we
have any
clap.
Correspondence?
We do. We'll have to filth for a moment.
Well, we've been...
Well, I find it all.
Shall I find Goodbye Sarah Jane on the... on YouTube, so we can
YouTube. Watch it. It's only 4 hours.
Yeah.
I've got to get on the Wi-Fi. For some reason, the Wi-Fi is not working.
Goodbye, Wi-Fi Jane. Don't ask me to fill. I would just say random
no,
words.
Can you please explain to me what this Goodbye, Sarah Jane
okay,
was
so it's beautiful. It is... Jacob Dubman is in a studio... not unlike this one.
Harvey Tubman's in it.
And he's delivering a beautiful bit of...
Bit of crockery.
Bit
of... To the restaurant.
He's delivering.
But was it like a Zoom thing or is it all in studio? Because you said it was during lockdown.
He's
so.
In his. I guess he has like a professional studio or has access to a professional studio.
Who is this again?
Jacob Dubman.
Who's he?
Oh, I think it's Jacob Dubman. I don't want to get his name wrong. He seems like a lovely chap.
Oh, Christ. Now we have to find out who's. Keep this research going. We'll be looking up cavemen.
Yeah.
I've got correspondence.
Thank
it
you.
Is Jacob Dubman, thank goodness.
Jacob Dubman, lovely.
Yes.
Goodbye, Sarah Jane. Colour Horizon Review says, say what you like about Stephen Thorne as an actor.
Mm.
Oh, pardon me.
But
he sure does believe in projecting the cheap seats.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tim Coleman says, hand, a.k.a. John's anxiety over the length of Tom's scarf comes to pass.
Oh, there you go.
A wonderful story with SJ, magnificent from beginning to sobs end. Mm. Goodbye, Sarah Jane.
Oh,
sexy...
Did they write that?
No, I just said it.
I got excited then.
Set me off again. A sexy villain for the dad spoiled only by sub-rent-a-ghost neckwear ex machina. 92 out of 100 Eldrads must not live near the Edinburgh Wooden Mill. Andrew F. The Hand of Fear is a fun enough story, but it's overshadowed by those final scenes, which feel like a poignant and fitting farewell to Sarah. Mm. Given that it was the 70s, we should probably be glad they didn't marry her off to some passing stranger or something equally absurd. Ben Thomas.
Mm.
Loosely inspired by the 1946 film The Beast with Five Fingers.
Ooh.
This story features Eldrad, the last survivor of the planet Castria, where a global vajazzing craze got tragically and fatally out of hand. The original script was a six-parter guest starring the Brigadier. I was going to say he's missing from this. Who was going to heroically perish saving the Earth. This was dropped, thankfully, when Nick Courtney proved unavailable. Instead,
I bet he did when he read that script.
Yeah, I bet he did. Instead, the crux of... Why haven't they done Goodbye, Nicholas Briggs?
They did. It's 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not Nicholas Briggs. Brigadier. Instead, the crux of the story is the departure of Sarah Jane Smith. The scene at the end was rewritten in rehearsal by Baker and Sladen, and it's magical. I'm still confused about Gallifrey's immigration policy, though. In the story, Sarah Jane can't go with the Doctor because the Time Lords have taken back control of their borders. But two series later, they're allowing Leela to stay and marry. Mm. This isn't the Gexit we voted for. Bobby Peru says, yes, I know I should be writing about Sarah Jane's legacy as the greatest companion. However, I just can't shake the thought of what would be left under your foreskin if you have a hot and heavy night with Eldrad.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking something like Licorice Allsorty, the blue ones.
Oh, Nick, I would get offended, but we've already covered docking earlier.
Yeah. Docking in detail. Nick Burton says, Andy Pandy grabs a handy. Sladen's then swan song is a great collection of set pieces until we get to Castria and sexy Eldrad is speared and replaced by shouty Eldrad, killed by the scarf of convenience. Glyn Houston is great and Sarah's leaving is a heartbreaking shock.
Yeah.
Jonathan Roberts, who's done a lovely picture there, you can see of Sarah
Jane. Oh, that's incredible. Oh,
that's nice.
Post that again when the episode comes out, Jonathan, because it's wonderful. Yeah. Oh, and I was also in the Jam bookshop yesterday and I saw Jonathan's lovely Columbo picture in the Columbo exhibition that's there. It's very good. Very good at drawing his old Jonathan. Thank
I love
you.
It. He did some great Inferno work as well.
He did. Evil Sarah Jane, a formative moment. It could be her evil smile that does it. And such an iconic goodbye, ditched in Aberdeen. Also got to love Glyn Houston acting in his own far more serious drama where he's calling his wife.
Mm.
The Watcher says, the one that goes a bit crap when they leave Earth. DJ Alpha T says, I expect Burke's having a good old time watching Eldrad.
Doris!
Ben Cowdell says, Sarah's line, we've been taken for a ride in episode 4, describes the feeling of disappointment you experience from this one. Her exit scene saves the story. Top marks are Glyn Houston's nuclear explosion acting. 50 out of 100 destroy Castrian race despite Eldrad's face plots. And Mark Hevingham says, part one was shown on my 10th birthday. I remember having my first migraine that day, but that was unrelated. A hidden gem. A hidden gem in a sea of surrounding classics. Good build up to the rather Pyramids of Mars end, reaching the ancient base. 70 rock hands out of 100. And that is the end of correspondence.
Hooray! Thank you for joining us.
I remember on that day I found a birthmark in the shape of Keith Chegwin. Unrelated.
Go and watch Goodbye Sarah Jane, if you haven't already. It's lovely. And until next time, keep wheezing and groaning.
Yes.
Eldrad must live.
Goodbye.
You need hands to hold someone you care for. You need hands to show that you're sincere. When you feel nobody wants to know you, you need hands to brush away the tear. When you hold a brand new baby, you need tender hands to guide them on their way. You need hands to thank the Lord for leaving and for giving us this day.
Let's dance for the ladies and gentlemen. Show the world you're happy. And you need hands when you have to stop the bus. But the hands we love so dear, all the hands we love to hear, are the hands that you give to us.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.